Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our November webinar and podcast episode. A quick reminder today, if you would like to ask questions, if you're joining us live and you have the opportunity to ask a question at any time, you can just use the Q&A function on your Zoom control panel and we'll answer that one at the end of the session. If you're viewing the recording or listening to the podcast later and would like to ask a question, you can contact us directly at smithinc.com. Now going to hand over to Mark Holton, Smith Inc Director, to present his session, Using Strategic Planning to Leverage Advisory Services. Over to you, Mark.
Well, thank you, Andrew, and good morning, everyone. As it's still morning, good afternoon to some, and welcome to the November Smith Inc webinar session. I'm actually coming to you today from my office at Terrigal on the New South Wales Central Coast, where it's a beautiful 19 degrees, a little bit hazy, but not bad at all. This has been my domicile, I suppose, since March this year with COVID. And what we're doing today is through a Zoom-type technology, something that I think the entire industry that I'm talking to are spending an awful lot more time doing with clients. But what we're going to look at today is one specific opportunity that I believe, from experience in my firm, that is, that we managed to get great engagement and great opportunities for ongoing advisory work, as well as, to be honest with you, a fair bit of additional work coming out of that particular process. And that's that wonderful term called strategic planning. My real goal today is how can we leverage strategic planning as a value-added service in your firms? And when we talk strategic planning, we're talking about, you know, a term that a lot of clients probably see as valuable, but might not necessarily understand what it's all about. I mean, sure, we can talk about goals and desired outcomes, results, measures, targets, KPIs, strategies and the like. But at the end of the day, I've always been a big believer in the advisory space of targeting the communication toward the client and their level of literacy in a variety of different areas, such as financial, business, planning and so forth. I've also found when I did this in my firm that there wasn't too many clients that actually planned forward. It was much like surviving for many, many business owners. When I come back to discussions around how well do they measure towards their desired outcomes through tools like budgets, tools like cash flows, forecasts and the like, the common question I actually got was, well, we don't do that, or why do I need to do that, or you haven't mentioned that to me in the past. Why are we talking about it now? I had one guy I remember vividly said to me, he said, what do I need to do a budget for? I'm still here, aren't I? And I thought, well, geez, that's a good measurement point for success. That's very strategic. You know, the fact that you are still there, I suppose that's strategically better than not being there. So we're going to start to think about not just what it is, because I think, you know, every accountant online today knows what strategic planning is. But how do I engage the client in it? How do I get them fired up? How do I get them on board? And more importantly, how do I get them to pay me for the time that I'm obviously going to have to put into play to get this done? So my first thought is always start with a SWOT analysis. And everybody online would know what that is, the old strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. And that SWOT analysis is such a wonderful tool to dig down and find out from the client's perspective where they think they are strong and where they think they are weak. Bear in mind, in a traditional SWOT analysis, though both of those two commentaries are internal or internally originated. Okay, it's something happening within the business. What am I doing well? What's my green flags? What am I not so doing well? That's my red flags. If something is red, how do I find it, fix it, and fix it fast? In other words, how do I turn a red into a green? It's pretty simple stuff. I mean, call it a SWOT, call it a, you know, a strengths and weaknesses analysis, call it whatever you want, as long as it works. The opportunities and threats obviously are externally originated. So what opportunities can the client move into? Is it a new marketing opportunities? Is it new sales opportunities? Is it new production opportunities? And lastly, the threats. You know, what external threats could otherwise disrupt my equilibrium of running my business? What external competitive threats, for example, or government intervention or technology or anything else that could possibly threaten the way I do business on a day-to-day basis? What can happen with that? I believe this is such a critical part. In fact, when I go in to consult to accounting firms around how to get their advisory services up and running in a systemized, divisionalized approach, and when we start to talk about developing annuity models of advisory, not piecemeal, annuity models that last well tomorrow, not just today, the first thing I do with every firm is get them to do a SWOT analysis. And often what comes back, I've got to be honest with you, is not much. I get back some good stuff in the strengths and weaknesses. Threats are pretty obvious, technology, government intervention, the other competitive firms around the place, business coaches and the like. Okay, opportunities, it's always business advisory. And the first thing I say to every accounting firm is break it down for me. I mean, business advisory is a fantastic term. Every accounting firm has it on their website, their banners, their cards, and every bit of livery they have. But what is it? What does it mean to a client? What sort of services are you going to offer? What are you currently offering? What do you want to offer? You know, how much are you going to price them for? How are you going to explain them to a client in a manner that the client sees as beneficial, not you, the client? So we're going to start to dig down to other levels. But I think the SWOT analysis is the first strategic thing you should do, if not on your own firm, and regularly look at how you are going with it, because out of every SWOT analysis comes actions. What do I need to do to be stronger? How do I address the weakness? What opportunities are there that we haven't looked at, haven't moved down that pathway? And what threats are there, and how do we look at the threat, possibly turn it to an opportunity, which inevitably can be a strength? You've got to use this as a tool to capture what's in the client's head. Not what you think about the client, but what's in the client's head. It also gives you a preemptive look at what they're thinking about before you bring them in to have a discussion. The other thing I think we need to look at with strategic planning is simple stuff like vision, mission, and values. Okay? And we need to then discuss the key initiatives with the client. So let's go back a fraction and just talk about this one for a moment. The vision, the mission, the values. How many of your current clients have a vision statement? In other words, what they're aiming at. How many of your current clients have a mission statement? In other words, how they're going to get there. You know, what's the steps? What's the plan to deliver that vision? And thirdly, how many of them have sat down and thought what are critical values that they hold dear to themselves, their teams, their clients in the delivery of the goods and services we provide to market day in, day out? When we first started in the advisory game, we were far too transactional in focus. By transactional, what I mean is quite simply, let's get a bit of software, let's get a dashboard, let's use the accountant's love tool, which is Excel, my favorite word in the world. But then I found a bit of software years and years ago, almost 22, 23 years ago, maybe longer, called MYOB Profit Optimizer. And we used to feed in the client's financial data. And we used to put visual reports in front of the client, firstly on paper, secondly up on screen, do it live. And every client loved it because it was different, not because I was doing anything that special, but because it was different. It looked better in pictures than it did with rows and columns of numbers. But all we did focus on was the transactional aspect of running their business. What we didn't do well was dig in to the strategic vision they had for the business. We didn't look at their business and say, okay, where is it today? What are you doing? Where are you getting income from? How many clients do you have? What's your average client yield? Okay, has your GP net profit gone up or down? All these key drivers for success, where are you today? And then more importantly, where do you want to be tomorrow? So first thing we've got to talk to them about is how long tomorrow is. Is tomorrow next year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years? And where do you want to be? Do you want to be earning income the same way? Do you want to have the same quality of clientele? Do you want to have the existing staff still with you, or do you want to diversify your staff levels? Do you want to push down some of the dependency that currently relies on your head as a small business owner to other people in the business? Do you want to develop some sort of succession in your firm? Look for people within it, or your business rather, look for people within it who could possibly be equity holders. start to measure what your business is worth today, aiming that up against what you want it to be in 1, 2, 3, 10 years. Develop a gap, fill the gap. Now, that strategic discussion then feeds back into a million and one advisory services like budgets, cash flows, succession planning, estate planning, benchmarking, board of advice meetings held at least every quarter where you as the external chairperson hold the client accountable to their plans. If there's no plan there, explain to me how you can deliver that. But the other thing I've seen when I've had discussions with clients around these three critical measures is some clients have come back to me and say, well, that's ridiculous. I don't need to write down my vision. I know what I'm doing. Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You can persuade them into a different mode of thought, but if they're thinking that way and they're not going to budge, probably the wrong client for advisory, to be honest. But hey, what we decided to do in my firm was to do a simple 1 hour strategic planning session with every single business client we had. Okay? We got them to do the vision, the mission, and the values if they had them. Most didn't. We did get them to do a SWOT analysis before they come in and send it back to us. Most did that. Those that didn't, you have to really think, are they really interested in improving their business? But what we found was a lot of the vision statements were miles too long. A lot of the vision statements probably were mission statements in that they were too long, too convoluted, said too many things. I was taught through a strategic planning session years and years ago at Ronald McDonald House, Westmead in Greater Western Sydney, when the facilitator asked every board member, what is the vision of Ronald McDonald House, Westmead? And we had 12 board members with 12 different visions. When we sat down and rationalized that process, the facilitator said something to me that really stuck. He said a good vision statement should have no more than 3 thought processes if you expect anyone to remember it and repeat it. Even if they don't repeat it exactly, repeat the basic component of the 3 thought processes max. So out of that session, we come up with a vision. And that vision was, we're a home away from home, number one, for families, number two, of sick children, number three. And that become the vision. That become the statement. What does Ronald McDonald House do? We're a home away from home for families of sick children. Not hard to remember, easy to repeat. The more you do it, the better you become at it. I've also had the fortune in the past of studying the Disney model of success. And I vividly remember learning the vision statement that Walt created in the 50s and hasn't changed since. And that is 3 things: make people happy. And I remember the CEO, Robert Iger, in his book, and the book was entitled The Ride of a Lifetime, talking about him being questioned by his management as to whether the vision statement simply reflected the true vision of the organization. He said, well, why wouldn't it? We're in the business of happiness. We're in the business of making people happy. Our guest is the most important person. And I thought, there's an organization that knows where it's aiming. How they get there, which is part of the vision, and the values they hold dearly, is a really important discussion to have with clients. So we called the clients in. We did a bit of a whiteboard session with them. We got the SWOT if we could. And all we did was talk about vision, mission, values, SWOT. And out of that, we developed an action plan. And that action plan created a whole host of things that needed to be done that, in general, the client had no idea how to do it. So we become a engaged party with them literally overnight, because some of those things that come up in the SWOT analysis indicated there was no succession plan. So let's get that in place. There was no budget and cash flow. Let's put that in place. We need to get estate planning moving. Let's put that in place. So this whole, you know, dip your foot in the water approach to strategic planning ended up generating significant opportunities in a variety of different areas, as well as helping them set their strategy and ultimately helping them deliver that strategy through a series of achievable, realistic actions. And that's what I mean about engaging through strategic planning. Sure, you've got to give a little bit away. Sure, it doesn't always work. Sure, you'll get some clients in front of you and think, why did I invite them in? They are doing my head in. Geez, I had that a few times. But ultimately, I don't think I did one of them where I didn't learn something about the client, where I didn't learn what's important to them, and I didn't learn their attitude and values towards business success. And whether I do advisory with them or not, I'm putting myself and my team in a much more ascended position to support them in the future. So that's what I'd recommend you guys start to think about, to look down the pathway of engagement. There is no better time at the moment to start getting out there and having a cup of coffee. In fact, if I was still in practice leading out of COVID, I would find all my business clients and the top, say, 20-25% of them, and I'd be out there having a cup of coffee with as many as I could. And I'd be talking to them about where they see their business in the future. For those that have got JobKeeper, they've got to be 30% down on last year. So where's the plan to get that 30% back? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? How do we get back even close to where we were before COVID? Now's the time to unlock the engagement. Now's the time to talk about strategy, where you need to be to get back, who's going to do it, how's it going to be done, and then use 2021 as the launch point to get more annuity-type lucrative advisory services happening in your firm. I believe the time is never better. But ultimately, as part of that strategy process, which, by the way, I don't do in this initial complimentary meeting, this is when we start to engage. We've got to start to talk to them about a variety of things like, and I'll go through this pretty swiftly, the market. How is the market currently sitting? Are there any new industries out there? New style of operations, new operational models? How is technology affecting the market in their particular industry? What challenges are they being faced? That could also come out in a SWOT analysis. In fact, all these could. New markets that we want to pursue that we haven't looked at before. How might these changes impact on our business? And are we in the right location to seize on that opportunity? So we've got to start to look at all these questions on screen and having discussions with clients as part of our ongoing paid for annuity-based advisory services and have discussions with them about all these key things that affect their business. We also need to face what I call the sleeping giant, and that's technology, the impact of technology on every business. We've got to start to talk to them about what are the key emerging technologies in their industry. How will that impact on our customers? Do these technologies provide opportunities for us in business to deliver existing new services or existing services in a new manner? There is no better example of that than the accounting industry at the moment doing everything from training to education to client meetings through Zoom. Whether you like it or not, sitting in an office, not interacting with people, and I'll tell you now, it's driving me nuts after being here for 6 months, but it's part of the game. It's an opportunity to engage that wouldn't be there if we didn't seize it. So whether I like it or not doesn't matter. You know, short, sharp sessions like this, perfect for digital transmission. I have strong concerns over doing anything longer than a couple of hours in a digital mode. I really do. Okay, but that's just me. We've got to start to ask, do any technology threaten our existing service or delivery? Particularly relevant if clients are in the manufacturing sector, the retail sector, or anything really where technology will have an impact or automation might make a change to their current business operations. And what should we do about these opportunities and threats? And again, if they talk to you with that, link it back to the SWOT. If the SWOT hasn't brought it up, these bring it up, link it back. Use it as a circular type approach to consulting. We've got to talk to them about competitors. They're out there. Okay, we need to do a bit of a competitive analysis with the client and have discussions around what competitive advantages do we have? What makes us unique? I think every client we talk to, we should be talking to them about their USP, their unique selling proposition. What makes them different? What makes them special? What competitive advantages do we have? Okay. Do they have services not provided by us? If that's the case, you might be non-competitive. I've long been championing the advisory cause in our industry, in the accounting game. I've long believed that firms that don't at least look to do this more regularly will end up being non-competitive to some extent in the future. Certainly not at the moment, but certainly in the future. And tell us an industry that isn't more impacted by technology than the accounting game, and also impacted by change, also impacted by other competitors out there doing this stuff. We've got to dig in and find out what's really worrying our clients. We need to talk to them about their customers. Okay, has that customer base changed? Okay, what's the age of our customers? Do they have an aging client base? Does that create a threat to their industry? Do they have any sort of mechanisms in place to go after the new, younger, entrepreneurial type clients? Okay, that's an issue. How do we replace the current clients we have that are getting older and retiring? Okay, are we accessing emerging business people? Are we talking to different people? Are we going to things like business referral groups? Are we going out to business after five sessions with local chambers of commerce? Are we interacting? Are we learning? Are we doing a whole host of stuff? You know, I noticed this morning in a digital platform, Michael Porter was doing a session that you could have subscribed to on Zoom or digital format on strategy. Same time, Simon Sinek is on doing some sessions as well. There's a whole host of education sessions now being pushed towards the business sector, and all of it's digital, but also very short in time. And are there any other types of individuals not service buyers and other markets we could address? I'd like you to think about using these questions when you get them in the slides as a bit of a checklist as to the sort of questions you could ask clients. If you're also interested in clients, on the Smith Inc. website, we have 100 unlock the need questions that you can ask clients, broken up into 10 different categories, our 10 by 10. So you can nick in there and download 100 open-ended questions to get clients talking. Certainly it's there for you. We've got to review their products and services. Start to talk to them about things like, how can our existing products and services be improved? What's our clients saying? You know, where is the inefficiencies in our model or our service offering? What are clients saying about us? What demands are they putting upon us? What bottlenecks are they raising? If they're frustrated, we need to address that. Are some of our products and services not as relevant to customers today as they were in the past? And what else can we do to make ourselves protected from the variety of different things we've discussed so far? Resourcing, another key thing. Are we leveraging our skills? What are our employment trends? Where might future labor come from? How do we attract, single biggest issue in the accounting industry, number four, by the way, guys, how do we attract and retain rising stars? That's an ongoing problem for our industry, let alone a whole host of our clients. You know, what key person risks does the business owner have? I've got no doubt the single biggest challenge business owners have at the moment, and I've seen empirical evidence on this, is dependency. And that is, if something happens to them, the business couldn't continue. If something happened to them, or they got crook, or they went on holidays, or something else like that, could the business continue at the level it currently is without them there? And you and I know the majority of our clients would answer no to that, which means they have no succession model. They have no operational structure. And that's something we can help them with. And as with anything, resourcing comes back to train. Business management ownership. Could the management be improved? What are our challenges? What succession issues do we face? Where's the future leaders? Are we sharing profits accordingly? What are our future plans? We're in the ideal position to do this because we can run businesses and also have a darn strong knowledge about the financial implications of each change before they happen. That's long been my mantra for advisory. Let me show you the financial impact of key business decisions before they happen. We just got to get out there and deliver that. They might need a new structure. We can put that in place. That's what we're good at. We're great at it. But also make that part of the holistic strategy that you're working with the client. All these things are challenges they need to face. All these things are items they probably haven't considered or don't know what to do. They all build an action plan of what needs to be done in the future, and they build advisory opportunities for you guys online. So lastly, because I'm running out of time, the key thing is to build a plan, okay? So what are the top five initiatives we want to work on in the future? So top five goals, top five challenges. And for each of those top five, what do we need to do? Who's going to do it? Okay. And what will be the outcome from the initiative? I was working with a accounting firm recently where we looked at the next 90 days. We did the 90-day roadmap, per se, of where this firm wants to go in the future, in the three divisions it has, which is compliance, financial planning, advisory. It's real easy to say, I want to take X to Y. The challenge is, how do I do it? Who's going to do it? When's it going to be done? And what outcome will we achieve by moving down that pathway? Okay, the plan is critical. There's software out there at the moment to help you do a dynamic business plan, a strategic plan. But in reality, it's not that difficult to do. We can do a financial projection, any of the tools we use, including Excel. We can get a stock standard type strategic plan off the internet if we want to. So technology for us to deliver these issues is not that difficult, not that challenging. We just got to engage the client first, get inside their head, and then deliver the outcomes they need. And the other thing you've got to get is an agreement from the customer. They've got to agree with the plan. If not, that's when plan A becomes plan B, becomes plan C. Okay? We've got to find out from the customer, do they have any concerns? We've got to link the plan to the ongoing business advisory to service delivery in our firm. So if there's an issue, what's the issue? What do we expect to achieve from it? How do we deliver services in line with that issue to achieve the end outcome? Which comes back to your business advisory plan, your business advisory price book, your business advisory, how to explain a service to a client in a non-head-hurting manner. Because experience tells me you hurt their head, they don't sign anything. How do we engage them into a dynamic individual proposal that actually sells? And once they've signed it, how do we deliver it? So we've got to manage and monitor the plan, which means that, what we do today keeps happening tomorrow and on and on and on. Strategy sells engagement. Engagement links advisory services. I challenge everyone online today to at least think, how can I get this moving next year? But what I would do, and I'll reiterate that, is I would go and have as many cups of coffee with as many high quality clients as I can and find out what's important to them. Find out what bothers them. Find out what their strategic plan is for success post-COVID, post-no JobKeeper, post-no stimulus measures. Get inside their head now, and believe me, it will pay dividends for them and also for your firm later. Smack on time, Andrea. Let me ask, is there any questions?
Very good. Thank you, Mark. Just to remind everybody, if you'd like to ask Mark a question now, you can just type it into your Q&A thing, I'm going to say, because I can't think of the right word, on your control panel down the bottom there, and I'll read that out. Mark is right here to answer your questions. Give him some curly ones. Give him something to think about. Everybody's very quiet, Mark. You must have answered everything.
Well done. Is anyone still online, Andrew?
Yes.
Guys, while we're pondering questions, if any firm out there today wants to have a discussion with me about how we did this with strategic planning, I'm more than happy to do a bit of a teleconference, have a bit of a yarn, talk to you about the trials, the tribulations, the successes, the failures we had. So if you do want to have a chat with me at any stage, or even have a chat about your business advisory plans, please reach out. It's totally complimentary. Love to have a chat. I learn stuff from that as well.
Thanks, Mark. I've got a couple. Robin has just said, thanks, Mark, for a very timely call to arms, which is great. Thank you, Robin. Andrew has said this might be, we're going to have to remember this one, Andrew.
This one will be a challenge. I can't remember what I said a moment ago.
Well, yes. Can you repeat the last comment? I think it sums it up.
Andrew, g'day for starters, mate. Nice to see you online again. I think it was something around... Jeez, can you remember, Andrea? And I tell you what to do, Andrea, the taped version of this.
Go back to your last slide, because what you said.
What I think I was talking about was use strategic planning to engage clients. Okay. And I believe not only will that help them run better, smarter businesses, but it will help you and your firm to integrate your advisory services much more readily and much more lucratively for your firm, but ultimately it helps the client. That's why we're there.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Mike.
Probably nothing like what I said, Andrew, but there you go.
No, that sounds good. Well, Andrew might comment and just remind us.
Andrew Rowland always asks tough questions. I've got to be
good. Got to keep you on your toes. John has said, I heard you. We have to do our own plan.
Thanks, that's John. A critical bit.
Yep, very critical. Nobody else coming through. Well, of course, you can just email myself or Mark directly. I'll forward it on to Mark, obviously, or just contact us via the website if you've got any other questions. And don't forget, you can book a complimentary 45-minute session with Mark at any time. So you can contact us about that if you'd like to set something up as well. The recording will be available today. Thank you, Mark, very much for presenting today. And thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks, Andrea. All the best, everyone.